You're listening to Greater LA, KCRW show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis, and along with me inside my car is KCRW's Francis Anderton, host of DNA, and I'm driving right now, actually stuck at a red light, but driving in downtown Los Angeles, Francis, DTLA as we know it, right?
That's right.
Lovingly know it. And we're looking for parking, which is always a fun thing in Los Angeles.
Yes, yes, and there's getting less and less of it.
There is less and less of it, and as I'm looking for a place to put this car, because what...
Oops.
Oh, my goodness.
What
Someone's
have you done, hugging. Steve?
I haven't done anything. I don't think that was at me.
Here we go.
Maybe
look
he
over here on the left. Look, here's some meters.
Okay, hang on. Here's some meters.
Okay. Oh, look. Hang on. What does that say?
Well, this is a
no
Ralph's.
Stopping. No,
no
stopping.
We can't stop there. Okay, mm-hmm. So we have to keep going. Mm-hmm. We'll turn on Hope Street over here.
And hope for a parking space.
And we're going to hope for a parking space. Wait, wait, is this a guy leaving? Hang on. Sir, are you leaving? No. No. Trying to find a parking space in Greater LA, whatever part of town you're in, obviously, Francis, can be an exercise in futility.
Very well put, Steve.
I mean, we're it can mean driving around and around like we're doing right now, looking for street parking on the side of the street near the curb. It could mean a parking structure where we're going up and up and up or down and down and down trying to find a spot.
And the reason why we're here is because we're quite interested in a particular kind of parking structure that has proliferated in downtown as new residential towers have proliferated.
And a lot of them, right?
A lot of them
have gone up.
And that's what we're calling the parking podium. That is several stories of parking that sits at the base of a tower.
Well, I thought a podium was where someone stands when they're giving a speech.
Well, that's true, Steve, but the podium has a different usage here, and it's where a car stands as it's waiting for its owner to come back and drive it again. What we contend with in LA when it comes to parking is that we have something called parking minimums. And the parking minimums are a base level requirement for parking spaces that accompany units. There's a very smart guy, Stephen Sharp, who writes something called Urbanize LA. It's an online publication. He explains it here. He says, the baseline established by the zoning code calls for multifamily buildings to have one parking space per unit with less than three habitable rooms. While this ratio may not seem that imposing for a small apartment building, when it's applied to a development with 100 or more residential units, as you now find in the South Park area of downtown LA, yeah, this translates into a tremendous amount of parking. Okay, that parking could go underground, but digging underground, enormously expensive. So what happens is that developers will instead dedicate the street-level floors of their buildings to garage space. That's why, as we're driving around South Park, we can see towers that where the actual residential part starts a few layers up, a few levels up, and at the ground level is parking. We're actually on our way to one called Watermark Tower. But anyway, point being that this runs exactly counter to what LA is trying to do right now, which is to make our streets more pedestrian friendly. And the way you make a street more pedestrian friendly is by having maybe stores at ground level.
Retail, of course.
Maybe there's a hotel whose lobby is at the street level and you just walk in and have a drink at the bar. You don't have five levels of parking at the street level. It's very off-putting. It makes the street hostile. You don't want to walk down there alone at night. It's altogether very unpleasant. And so there's an effort to try and incentivize developers to not build these podiums.
We found a spot, Francis. We found a spot.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So we're gonna park on the street.
Finish your thought.
Yeah.
Finish your thought.
So there's an effort right now to push for developers to not be allowed to build parking podiums.
Right. But I still have to go to work. I still have things to do that maybe the metro train doesn't take me to, or a bus perhaps isn't as efficient as if I could get in my car and drive. So these are the choices that we have right now.
LA's in a moment of transition, and it's a tough moment of transition because we're shoehorning in a car-free mode of living on top of an urban form that has been designed in almost every way to accommodate the car. So it's very, very tricky.
Should we go look at a podium?
Let's go.
All right, let's go.
We're heading to a place called the Watermark Tower. The Watermark Tower has earned the less than affectionate title of Ugliest Podium. And again, I do want to credit a journalist named Stephen Sharp, who is the managing editor of Urbanize LA, because he really brought to everybody's attention this phenomenon of these podiums. And he's particularly singled out this very tall glass tower sitting atop several levels of parking.
Just pretty, really a concrete slab.
I was just about to say, yes. Raw, pretty raw concrete. Ah, here we are. It's coming into sight right now,
okay,
Steve.
There
look
it
at
is.
That.
Wow. I mean, it's pretty from, say, floor 7 up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6 floors of slab of just concrete, ugly raw concrete. And then a nice glass tower with corner balconies going up.
Right, right. So here we are coming up. Now, again, what the designers here have done is they do have the lobby for Watermark Tower at the base of the podium. So it's not completely without sort of human accessibility. And if you look at, Steve, where we're standing, we're actually, bizarrely, this podium that we just passed has tried to do more with the structure than the at least two parking structures that we're now looking at. We're in basically an alley that just gives onto the backs of parking structures. And one is struck by, they just take up so much space and they offer so little to the street. And that used to be considered okay in LA, but it's no longer considered okay. So designers and planners and elected officials and some developers are trying to figure out ways to make the parking experience better when it has to even be there. Some are going a step further and saying get rid of it altogether. And that's the transition that we're in.
That's the transition we're in here at the corner of fried chicken and marijuana and urine. I smell 3 distinct things where we're standing right now, Francis. Fried chicken, marijuana, and urine.
You have the nose of a downtown dog, Steve. Okay, so Steve, we've come right back to your car, and I'm noticing something that I didn't notice when we first got out, which is the birds. Can you hear the birds?
Yeah, yes. I see a couple of trees. I'm suspecting, Francis, that they're in that tree or maybe the tree next to it.
Well, also, if you look behind, can you see what's behind you? Another parking podium.
Yes.
Okay, there's 3 stories of parking. However, what the owners of this property have done is they have paid for quite a bit of landscaping to go in. So we've got some creeping ivy up there. We've got some succulents down here. And lo and behold, it's attracted the birds. It's showing how you can dress up these parking podiums and make them a little bit more sort of humane, you know, even when they do have to exist. There's quite a distinct change in the sound environment here because of these birds.
Speaking of birds, should we fly back to KCRW?
Let's do that, punster Steve.
Well, back in the studio with Francis, and now we're joined by Mark Valianados, who's director of LA Plus, which is a nonprofit that advocates on planning and land use issues. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Give us a little history here, will you? Because we just heard about, you know, these podium buildings and what's happening. When were minimum parking requirements first created? What was the reasoning behind them?
Well, the first minimum parking requirements in LA came in 1931. And it was
when cars were new.
Well, the interesting thing is that there was a whole decade before that, the 1920s, when auto ownership really boomed in Los Angeles. You had the population doubled in the county in the 20s, but car ownership went up by 5 times or more. And so really for the first time in human history anywhere, you had to figure out the problem of what do we do when everyone owns, or a lot of people own motor vehicles. And one of the issues was, where do you put them, right? And so, you know, people figured it out. Like some new buildings had parking on it. People parked on the street, there were commercial parking lots, all kinds of, you know, crazy innovations, and some of them worked and some of them didn't. But by the early 30s, the city decided that at least for new apartments with more than 20 units in them, you had to have 1 parking space per unit on the site. And the reason they did that is that they felt that otherwise the residents would kind of steal all the adjacent street parking. And so they envisioned a future in which everyone was parking on the street. There was no street parking. Everyone was, you know, driving in and out and stuff like that. And they thought it wouldn't, you know, be chaotic and lead to congestion.
Can you imagine, Francis Anderton, if we were talking about podiums that were not cars, but horses and buggies would be parked right in an apartment building?
or grazing on the 11th floor, where you can now find things like dog parks on the top actually, of some of the podiums.
The thing is, actually borrowed the first parking rules from horses.
Right.
So the very first zoning rules in LA had a rule that no home could have more than 4 horses per garage. And I'm not making that up. That's legitimately the case. And then later on, they said, okay, a single family house can have up to 4 cars in its garage.
Yeah.
So they had these maximums of 4 minimums. So it was true. No one knew how to deal with cars when they first became a mass phenomenon. And LA is one of the places we experimented with doing that. And so we helped pioneer parking requirements too.
All right. 4 horses. Now we have cars that we're replacing the horses with back in the 30s. What are the rules right now? We're talking about nearly, you know, whatever, 90 years later.
Well, now every new home has to have mandatory parking on site. It's often, it's like between 1 or 2 per spot, usually closer to 2, because it's like counting by the number of inhabitable rooms or bedrooms, you know. And then all commercial uses, all commercial buildings and industrial buildings have to have them. And there's this kind of really intricate set of standards based on the type of building. And again, it's kind of weird. It's like how many parking spaces do you need for a mortuary or for a church or for a bowling alley? And it's kind of strange rules of thumbs that may not actually, you know, be based on anything.
But someone actually came up with this.
But they came up with them. We enforced them. And the problem is, it's like, let's say you want to open a restaurant in a space that used to be some other kind of shop. The parking rules for restaurants are much more strict. So you have to find like 5 times as many parking spots. So it makes it hard to take an existing cool building, that'd be a good location, say, for a cafe, and make it, you know, into a viable business. So parking gets in the way of people changing the uses of buildings. And also, of course, maybe more tragically, it makes it hard to build enough housing in an area that's lacking it.
Well, that's indeed what we're talking about, Francis, right? Because we go to the building and it's like you've got these multi-story parking areas before even the development begins going up, right?
That's right. That's what we were looking at earlier, Steve. Yes, you can have these podiums of, you know, 5 to 7 stories of parking. Now, we should just say that I think, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, there is one area in LA that was relieved of the parking minimums. It's in downtown. It's the historic district. And when the adaptive reuse ordinance was passed, which allowed developers to repurpose commercial office buildings as housing, the only way they were able to do that was to get an exemption from the parking minimums.
You because had to get they're an really exemption.
Yeah, because where were they going to put the parking? So, in fact, what you now have in downtown, we saw the new towers that are sitting on top of the podiums, but go a bit further east and you're in the historic district, no podiums, buildings sitting squarely on the ground.
Who made up these rules in the first place, these parking minimum rules? I mean, we talked about, you know, the history of it, the horses replaced by cars and things like that. But there's got to be, is there like the Wizard of Oz who like creates all of this in the first place?
It was really planners. And as someone who respects planners, I hate to say that, but essentially it was the planning department trying to figure out how to, you know, jointly manage the buildings in the city and also the traffic and the roads. And so they settled on this, like, let's start with big apartment buildings. Later, they extended it to every apartment building. And then after World War II, they extended it to all single-family houses, all commercial buildings. And unfortunately, I feel like they didn't think through the ramifications of it, which was that a couple of things. A, it outlawed a lot of LA's best buildings. So, like, I love bungalow courts, for example, you know, duplexes, stuff like that, sort of small, cool courtyard apartments that used to have either low parking or no parking on them. And so the reason you don't see any of them after like neighborhoods that were built in the 20s or 30s is they were essentially banned due to parking, right? And then also, even if you add parking, like in a big podium building or in a mid-rise apartment, you're adding a lot to the cost of the building, especially if you're doing, you know, concrete structured garage or underground or something like that. And where does that go? That goes to the rent payment or the purchase payment of an actual ordinary Angelino having to, you know, to front that too. So I feel like it's contributed to bad urban design, sort of dangerous situations where pedestrians are walking by parking lots a lot. And also then, unfortunately, to like the housing and homelessness crisis, where we're prioritizing homes for vehicles over homes for humans.
So if planners have been the ones who at first came up with this, right? If these are the people who were the ones who came up with parking minimums, who are the people who want to change it?
To their credit, the city is just released a draft of its new downtown plans. And those will have no parking in them, which will be the first ever community plans the city has had since it started like 40 years ago that don't have any parking. So planners have actually evolved to understand that you don't always need to require parking. it's sometimes been pressure from, you know, people who maybe are living in a neighborhood or worried about traffic and driving, and they kind of think intuitively, well, if we force there to be all this parking in new buildings, those people won't take street spaces, there'll be less, more space for me, whatever. But actually, I think it encourages driving for everyone to have a guaranteed spot everywhere. And so really, they're acting against their own interests. And I think that if we relax or end parking minimums, you'll get a less parking per building, more people will figure out different ways to get around. The city will be a nicer place to walk, a more, you know, more pleasant environment, safer. And you'll solve a bunch of problems.
And if you own a car, you're just going to move somewhere else. You're going to look for some other place to live, right?
I think the answer to that, Steve, might be that actually what might happen is if you choose to live in downtown and the building that you're in does not provide parking, there are plenty of other parking structures that you could rent a spot in. There's surface parking structures there. So I think in an area like downtown, you would absolutely still find there's parking spaces if you need them. Or, yes, you might, if it really matters to you to have on-site parking, yeah, you might make a different choice.
Or the developer may include parking for half the apartments. And if you have a car and you want to pay a little bit extra per month, you do so. But your neighbor down the hall doesn't have a car, they pay a little bit less. And everyone kind of gets more choices about how to live.
Do developers really think like that, though? Is it going to be? I mean, if you're talking about like restricting the supply, doesn't that mean they can get more for that parking?
I think developers sometimes don't want to pay the cost of building parking when they know there's actually a market for their building.
I'm just being the ultimate cynic here, though, right? Is the like an already exorbitantly high cost of living in Los Angeles, and it's like, well, wait a second. If there's less parking, then I can charge more for the parking spaces that I offer in my development.
But also, conversely, it's the cost of building the parking that ratchets up the cost of construction, which then bumps up the rents. But think also of the nonprofit developers of so-called affordable housing, which we all know. We've talked many times about how astronomically expensive a unit of, quote, affordable housing has become. And often one of the factors in that is providing the parking. I mean, I certainly know of a development where the folks that were going to be moving into that development really weren't going to be driving. And yet still the developer had to build one parking space per unit. And it was absurd.
What's the overall goal? We know the goal, if you get rid of minimum parking and there are fewer parking spaces that the developer has to build, right? And fewer people perhaps on the roads, right? You're encouraging more people to take mass transit, public transportation. What is the ultimate goal, Mark? What are we trying to get to here?
We're trying to save the planet. We're trying to reduce homelessness. We're trying to have a city that we want to spend time outside walking and biking around and spending time with our friends. So I think it actually has a lot of benefits. And again, it's not no parking, it's no forced parking. Because I feel like having studied this and looked at buildings before parking, after parking, you know, we kind of had an 80-year experiment in forced parking and it didn't turn out very well for either our mobility or our affordability or our sustainability. So let's like change course a little bit and see what happens. That's my recommendation.
What kind of time frame are we talking about, Mark, for the doing away of these minimum parking requirements?
Well, in the city of Los Angeles, it happens as community plans are negotiated and rolled out. The downtown LA plans may come into effect in a year or two, and that'd be the first. And then I don't think there's an expectation that every plan will have zero parking requirements, but hopefully they'll reduce them as many places as possible. And also having a place like downtown where you can actually experience a more kind of urban, walkable type of life, that hopefully is a kind of, you know, gateway drug to everyone to thinking about we can have a more diverse type of city and allow us to get there faster.
Mark Valianatos, director of LA Plus, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Francis Anderton, what a whirlwind for you and me. Francis, thank you.
It was great traveling around with you too.
Oh, the sights and sounds and smells of L.A. on Greater L.A. Coming up on the program, what you're saying about parking and how it is indelibly and often infuriatingly connected to Los Angeles. Some feedback next on KCRW's Greater L.A.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Back now with Greater LA on KCRW. Thanks for being with us. You know, Los Angeles may let go of parking requirements on new buildings starting in the downtown area. The potential effects are many, such as the ability to build more and cheaper units, housing units. Would you live in a place that didn't have a parking spot? Well, it turns out a lot of folks have opinions about parking. Who would have thought? We got a ton of responses to that question, and I did a quick tabulation, and the no's definitely have it, as a matter of fact. KCRW's Christian Bordahl is with us right now, our resident Norwegian, who has been looking through these the tabulations and the responses. Hi, Christian.
Hey there. How's it going?
I'm good. Where we stopped counting last night, I think, what, 132 people?
132 people had said, no, there is no way that I would live in a place or move into a place that didn't have a parking spot already designated, at least one, depending on how many people we're talking about.
All right. So what are some of the responses, more specific responses that you got?
So we got a ton of them. Let's see here. The real Alicia Lindsay says, nope, I live in downtown LA, and it was a requirement when we bought there. And the Lioness Yogi said, that's why I never moved to Koreatown, because no way am I moving into an apartment that doesn't have parking.
Okay.
Shelly Shell says, F no. Downtown already has a huge parking problem.
Shelly Shell.
Lefty Tiff says, no, LA is too car dependent because our public transportation is terrible. And that's actually something that a bunch of people brought up. They said, maybe I would do something, move to a place without parking if public transportation was better, but a lot of people criticizing the public transportation, saying it's not good enough.
We also asked the question on Twitter as well, at KCRW. The issue is complex, according to Delaram, but reducing parking may push us in the direction of reducing cars, improving public transportation, and reducing carbon emissions.
Yeah, so that's one of the people who was one of the 34 people. So we said 132 said at last count. 34 said yes, they'd be okay with moving into a place that didn't have a parking spot. And in some cases, they already live in a place that doesn't have a parking spot. And that was one of those people.
1988 Tenryu said, in downtown or Koreatown, as a question, absolutely not. So there's
right.
Your no right there.
And
yeah.
Alan Wayne's World says, absolutely, I dream of a more walkable, transit-oriented Los Angeles. Hannah E. Richard said, yes, I sold my car 3 months ago and I love it. It makes you live creatively and consciously. Let's see. We've got also here Olive Jews, who said, I think we can all make the sacrifice on this topic. I don't have parking at my apartment in Mar Vista. I have the opportunity to walk several blocks every day. It's great for multiple reasons.
We're going to have a show about how they name their Twitter feeds, right?
That's right.
But that's down the road.
You
talked to some experts about parking, didn't you?
I did. I checked in a little earlier with parking guru Donald Shoup. He's a professor at UCLA. He's spent years and years studying parking. And I asked him about people's misconceptions about parking. And here's what he had to say.
Just because the driver doesn't pay for parking doesn't mean the cost goes away. It's still there, and eventually everyone has to pay for it, including people who don't drive. And I think that the hiding of the cost of parking from everybody has led us to own and to drive more cars than we would if we paid for it directly, like we pay for gasoline or tires or cars themselves.
Yeah, so he's making the point that just because of these minimum parking requirements for restaurants, for example, sometimes the parking lot of the restaurant is much bigger than the restaurant itself.
Right.
And someone is paying for all of that, and we're it.
Yeah, or in that chicken parmigiana that you get on the inside,
that's right?
Right. I mean, it goes up a little bit more. Christian Bordahl, what an interesting topic, and you know, something that we come back to time and time again on Greater LA, and it's sort of an evolving subject, and we'll talk about it some more. But Christian, thank you.
Yeah, and reach out to us if you have questions about parking or you have more thoughts. Reach out to us at kcrw.com/GreaterLA.
We'd love to hear from you at KCRW. I'm at Radio Chio, and this topic, of course, never ending, and we'll continue to cover it. Christian, thanks.
Sure.
That is it for today. Next week, reining in the illegal weed market with recreational pot that's now legal in California. Jenna Cagle, PJ Shahamich, Sonia Geis, Ray Guarna, Phil Richards, Christine Camito, Amy Ta, and Christian Bordahl, our resident Norwegian, make this show happen on the air and online every single day. Thank you for your ears and for your time today. I'm Steve Chiotakis on this Thursday. Have a great day.